Testing. Blah, 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 blah. Ready, set, go.
It's time for the Coach Amy and Coach Liz Show.
A podcast for endurance athletes by two athletes, two coaches, and a physical therapist.
We are your hosts, Coach Amy
and Coach Liz,
coming to you from
Kansas City.
Hello, peeps.
Good morning.
We're back, and we're going to be talking about transitioning from pool and your swim times to open water and how that translates today. But before we do that, you just got back from an extended time in Hawaii where you have this ridiculous, I'm super jealous, gig of house sitting. Oh my God, how bad is that? In Hawaii for 3 weeks. So tell us what you did while you were there. Or just what was your favorite thing that you did while you were there?
You know, I just like being there. I like the smells and the sounds and the pace of life and the ocean and the green. It's just my place.
Well, I gotta tell you, you have this sort of very relaxed vibe that you brought back with you. Like calm. There's a sense of calm when there's normally like this tornado. It's like just a gentle breeze now.
I feel like it does that to me.
Yeah, it's good for you.
It is very good for me.
It's like a little, it's medicine that isn't, you know.
It is.
It's good medicine.
It is. It helps me calm down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, tell us what's going on here? What are we thinking?
So we are going to talk about translating your pool swim to your open water swim, specifically around what happens with your times, because when we get in open water, we're slower. And for most people, it's somewhere between 10 seconds and it can be upwards of 30 plus seconds per 100 slower is generally the translation. When people look at their times in open water, they can either be looking at the pace, which is telling you actually, like, did you slow down your pace and actually add time to your pace? Sometimes people will look at their at like their race time that shows up on the website for the race and look at their swim time there and try and calculate their pace from that. The problem with that is that you don't actually know how far you swam, because it's assuming that you swam 1.2 miles or 2.4 or whatever it is, where you may have added a bunch of distance to your time because you weren't sighting straight or sun was in your eyes or whatever. And so then it makes your time look slower, and your time was slower, but that was because you swam farther for an assumed distance rather than your pace actually being different. So what we're talking about here today is when your pace is actually different when you get in open water. Did you have a question?
Well, I was just going to point out that, you know, after we finished Ironman Ohio, that the half, the 7.3, it was determined that the course was long also. Yes. So even if you did all the tight corners perfectly, it was long.
Yes.
So again, it was just like, you couldn't calculate your time.
You can't. I mean, you really, you know, and Garmin's aren't always reliable in the swim. They make hiccups and that kind of stuff, but that's another podcast. But what we're talking about today is why you get slower in open water and how to mitigate that.
Okay.
And so, you know, the first thing, of course, you have to have the kind of fitness that you need to do to swim well in the sort of race you're doing. And so that goes without saying. Like, if you haven't built the sort of fitness that is required for a distance event, and that's like, you know, even if you're doing a 500 sprint in a triathlon, whether, you know, you can do 500, 1.2, 2.4, that is still a distance event in swimming. So you need to train that in that way. And that requires sets that build deep fitness. Like, you're doing a lot of lactate sets. You're doing hard swimming without a lot of rest. You're simulating that race to build that sort of fitness. Now, assuming that you have done that kind of practice to prepare you for the race you're doing, and you're still getting in and you're slower, that's also what we're talking about.
Okay.
So the first thing is that, you know, you get in, and let's talk about the difference in the environment. So when you're in the pool, you have calm water, relatively speaking. When you're in open water, there's a lot of movement in that body of water. And what that means, even if the water looks calm, there's still more like movement in that water. The currents and things and stuff happening underneath the water that you can't sometimes even see. And what that means is that as your arm is moving through that water, it's not catching as much water. Like the surface isn't as firm as it is when you're in the pool. And so that changes how you move the water with your arm. And you have something less firm to push against. It means that you're getting less forward movement with that. So there's just some of that, which is just the nature of open water. There's also a line on the bottom of the pool to guide you, which you don't have in open water, right? And so you're having to navigate that, which is requiring your brain to really do some navigating it doesn't have to do in the pool. And that means that unless you've really specifically worked on it, then it's no longer paying attention to your stroke in the way that it needs. So it's distracted in a way that's kind of sneaky. Even if you think you're focused, it's just not the same as swimming with a, you know, in clear water with a line on the pool. So you're going to have the potential to lose some time there. And then really, I think one of the biggest things is that the environment that you get into in open water is very distracting. And, you know, there's three phases of that. There's just being in open water. There's open water with other people, and then there's open water in a race. And those are three different things. And those are three different things that your brain has to learn to deal with while simultaneously also trying to swim hard. And unless, you know, that is where there's just a lot of noise there. And especially, you know, if you live someplace where you don't have a lot of access to open water, it's just a lot for your brain to deal with. And very quickly, we lose focus on the stroke. And I'm going to talk about why that means you lose power in your stroke. So one of the first things you can do is to start to desensitize yourself, which means you need to get in open water or at least visualize what you're doing in the pool as if it were in open water, just to start to calm that noise so your brain isn't also trying to manage all of the environment while getting you to swim hard, because you need to focus on your stroke regardless of what's going on around you. And so any of those activations will take away from your swim.
I remember that you gave me some drills to do the sighting with my head in the pool.
Yes.
So I got used to that.
Yes.
You know, looking ahead, and that is disruptive to the
stroke.
It's very disruptive. And you have to get used to doing that.
Yeah.
Well,
and I'm going to talk about that now, because that is actually even separate from what I was just talking about. So I'm going to talk about two skills that you need to really work on that are swim skills in open water. But what happens is that even if you've worked on these two skills that I'm about to talk about that will help your open water swimming, if you are not used to and have done a lot of work around making swimming in open water, I almost normalize it so that you know, you're not thinking at all about the environment, mm-hmm. it's going to distract you from being able to do these skills. So they seem similar, but those are swim skills that you're talking about. And I'm talking about, like, you need to be able to normalize that environment so you're able to entirely focus on your swim. And it doesn't matter what the current is or what the sun is or what other people are doing, which that takes a lot of practice.
Oh, and yeah, the sun. You just glossed right over that really quickly. I do remember that being a thing.
Yeah. That's
the sun shining in your eyes, and I didn't have the mirror goggles.
There's a million things that are going on in open water.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is that it doesn't matter. Like, your swim doesn't give a shit. And mm-hmm. so you have to learn how to not focus on that at all, and learn how to take your mentality from the pool and put it into open water. And I will say, I mean, as a swimmer, it took me years. And it's because no one said this to me, so I didn't realize that that's what I was trying to do. But mm-hmm. I hated open water when I started swimming. And it's frustrating. It's super slow. It's nothing like the pool. I mean, I did not like it.
You talking about how you've got to get some swims out in that open water, as many as you can.
Well,
as soon as the temperatures in your area allow for it.
Yeah.
And find those opportunities. Just huge.
Well, because it helps you desensitize to it, right?
Yeah.
And you just get used to it. And so once you've addressed, like, the environmental stuff and, like, your comfort in open water, you've managed your breath, you've kind of taken care of all of the things. And when I say, like, you know, if you're having anxiety about those things, I am not saying ignore those. I'm saying you need to really look at that and be aware of how you're feeling in open water and really address those things so that they actually aren't like knocking at your door, and you're not trying to focus on your swim while you're not addressing things that are bothering you about open water, because that will not work, mm-hmm. right? It'll come up as a panic attack. It's going to be all the things. So you need to really actually work on becoming very comfortable with the open water. But then the other secondary part of that is some of the things that we physically do with our swim in open water that can slow us down. One of them, which you mentioned, is the sighting. And so what happens to people is that, so when you're sighting, you're doing everything that we actually don't want to do in swimming. It's very,
like your toes drop.
Your feet and your legs drop. Yeah. And, you know, it's so always so tricky, especially when I get somebody who is sort of newer, because we work so much on pressing that chest down in swimming to help get the legs up, right? Like your body's like a teeter-totter. You press your head and your chest down to naturally elevate the back half of your body. And in sighting, you are lifting everything up. And so immediately your legs drop, right? Yeah. And so the thing that happens with that, and as people get farther into a race, they're lifting their chest up, but they're never recalibrating their body. And so their legs just then become like more, they hang down more than they do. They drag. And so you really have to practice and make a conscious effort that once you come up to sight, you really work on getting that chest pressed down and recalibrate your body. And you have to do it every time.
Yeah, nice.
You know? And so that's a huge part of sighting if you don't want to slow your stroke way down. The other part, and this is one that takes a little bit more work, and actually you have to develop the skill in the pool first, but you have to swim in a way where every single one of your arm strokes is hard and quality and effective. And there's a couple things with that. One is that when people sight, a lot of times they will use the arm that's helping them push up to sight. So like if I have that arm out in front and I'm pushing up to sight, they push that arm all the way down, and then it kind of finishes in like a
yeah.
And so immediately
in an unproductive manner.
In an unproductive manner.
So half the stroke is cut off, really.
So you've lost 50% of your forward movement. And already, so if you couple that with the fact that like then your legs are dragging, you're pushing yourself up, your legs are falling, and then you're not using that arm to finish.
Oh my God, you're wasting stroke. So much energy
50%.
Too.
I mean, imagine if you lost a leg in running, right? I mean, it's like
50% with barely one leg.
It's like or biking. Maybe you only have right. And so immediately you've lost 50% of your forward, or you know, at least 75% of your forward movement. And so you need to, as you're working on sighting, work on making sure that you're developing the ability to still pull effectively with that arm that's helping you sight. That can be really hard on shoulders because it's a hard, like your arm is out in front of you. You're pushing up. Like it can be very pinchy on that shoulder. There are modifications that you can make. You know, you really start the forward movement with your stroke once you've gotten past that initial reach phase. So even if you are, you know, your arm has already kind of started its pull, you can, and this is going to be confusing if you're not familiar with the swim stroke, but you can start your catch and get your arm in the position to do an effective pull slightly lower in the water than you might with a normal stroke if you're sighting. So that first part of your stroke, maybe it helps you push up, but then...
then you can start to pull.
Then you start going into an effective pull. And so it's you still are getting that forward movement from that pull.
I like that because then there is not, with the head extended and looking up out of the water, there's going to be a lot less force with that pinchy... You're in a little compromised position in the rotator cuff there. Yeah. So if you've got a little less force during that very beginning part, I like that.
Well, it's...
from the physical therapy kind of rotator cuff impingement issue.
Well, and you know, I mean, especially with triathletes and you're new to swimming and you're building that shoulder joint, like that can be really important, especially, you know, if you're sighting for a long... So there's some modifications around that, but you can still get a very effective pull. But the other thing, one of the hardest things that I have teaching in swimming is when somebody is going from... they've worked on being aerodynamic and they're starting to want to work on increasing the propulsion in their stroke, which are two different things. It's like building the airplane that's aerodynamic and then putting a good engine behind it. And there's a lot of things that happen during that leap that cause a lot of problems for people in their stroke. What I'm going to refer to here is something that you work on when you're trying to develop the increased propulsion in your stroke. How
for like, develop open the water. Engine.
This is in the pool.
This is in the pool.
And one of the things that you start to work on when you're trying to increase propulsion is feeling what it's like to actually pull hard and effectively under the water. What happens when people a lot of times try to pull hard is that they start slipping through the water. So they increase their cadence and they start spinning
their arms.
Yes,
we've talked about this in a previous podcast. Episode. Yeah.
So they start spinning their arms, but they're not, their stroke is really bad. And so they're not getting any forward movement with it. And so as you're working on increasing how you strengthen your stroke, you increase learning how to pull hard without losing your stroke. So you're actually grabbing that water more. A comparison that I make sometimes, if you look at people who are canoeing or like you're kayaking, and if you have that paddle so that it's in a way where there's like the resistance to the water, right? Your stroke's a little bit slower, but your paddle's facing the water in a way that's giving you a lot of forward propulsion versus if you turn it sideways so it's just slicing through the water, you can really increase how fast you're paddling, but it's just slicing and you're not getting any forward movement, right? And so that happens with our swim stroke.
Yeah, our hand is like our paddle.
Our hand is like our paddle. Exactly. And so I'm tying this back to open water here in a second. But, well,
we're
because...
We're coming back. Don't worry.
We are. Because one of the things you are learning when you're doing that is what it feels like to move water effectively. Okay. And there are some drills that I do with people, and it's like a light bulb moment when people feel what I'm talking about, because you can feel it in your lats, you can feel it in your arms, right? Mm-hmm. And you start to build the capacity to do that. Mm-hmm. Mm. But the reason that is important is because... as you develop a feel for this is what it's like to move water effectively, even when I am tired, that is one of the things you are looking to feel in open water. And unless you can feel that in the pool, or like maybe you get late into a set and you're like, this is what it feels like late into a set when I know that I'm working hard, when I know that I'm working effectively, and you start to understand what your brain feels like, what your body feels like, that is what you want to become familiar enough with that is what you are looking for in open water, and that you know you are still pulling effectively and that you are still working hard and you're not slowing down. And I am not talking about you're spinning your arms and you're kicking and you're doing maniac things.
Cadence isn't what's important here. It's the power with that cadence.
It is. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you don't really have a lot of, there are goggles and there are things that are coming out that are helping people understand what their pace is in open water. But generally for most people, especially at this point, you don't have a metric. You don't have a clock on the wall. Mm-hmm. You don't have, you know, you can't tell, like, are the buoys situated right? You're swimming blindly. And so the one thing that you have with you is how your body feels, and aligning that with how you know what it feels like to get laid into a hard set in the pool and what that feels like. And focusing on making sure that no matter what you are doing, you are getting that chest back down and that you are pulling and making every single stroke effective so that you're not distracted by something and suddenly you've lost half your pull, or you're not thinking about, like, you're not spacing off, right? Because you're also developing the ability to focus for a really long time on every single stroke, because that's the only thing moving you forward. And so if you don't have any way to dial that in or any gauge,
right,
then you lose your swim stroke and you wonder why you slow down. And so it's actually something that takes a fair bit of work to get. But if you can remember how you feel late into a set and work on developing the ability to focus all the way through your swim, and no matter what is happening around you, you've got to keep that pull quality.
Yeah.
And that's
this is really helpful because I don't have that much experience with swimming, but I finally got to the point where I found my buoyancy in the water. So I understand now when that head comes back down, I need to find that buoyancy right back.
You do.
Which means my balance in the water. And then I know what it's like to actually feel like I get a good pull. I'm overjoyed that I ever got to experience that feeling, because it took a long time to get there.
It is.
But I see what you're saying, because in the open water, if I'm not feeling that, then I know I'm losing time, regardless of, since there's no data to tell me that I'm losing time. That will be my feeling that I need to be engaged
in. It is. And the thing that is tricky about that is that there are so many other things you could be thinking about in open water that you forget that that's the feeling you're looking for, but that's your power. That's where you're moving forward. And it doesn't matter what the waves are doing, what the current's doing, what the sun is doing, what the other people are doing. If you think of nothing else when you're in the open water, it's looking for that effective pull.
Yeah, if you get distracted by those other things, it's okay. You just know I need to bring myself back to this when I can onto my stroke.
It's and you know that I'm making, I mean, that took me It took me a decade. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not saying this is easy at all, mm-hmm. but I think people, especially once you get to a certain point and like you've really worked hard to develop your swim and you're like, why am I still getting lost in translation when I get in open water? Well, there's some things that are just a little bit more subtle. And so, you know, you like, it's learning how to really translate that fitness from the pool into that open water. And there's some things you have to tune out and some things you have to listen to internally. You know, the interoception, really, mm-hmm. like how your body feels inside.
I like that word.
Yeah.
So even if, and I have questions about these goggles that you briefly mentioned for a second, but even if you had this real-time data of what your pace or stroke was, it really, even if you had that, it doesn't matter if you aren't pulling, because you're not going to, if you're not engaged with that pull and what's happening with your stroke.
Well, you'll see it in your time. Your time. You'll see it.
You'll see, maybe there's that, like, there's like a, hey, you've slowed down, but there's still that I need to be in tune with what I'm doing to get
Your correction for only, slowing down is that pull. It's because you'll know that you're slipping through that water.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, for example, like my pace for like a long, like if I were to go out in the pool and do like 1,000, and this, I mean, I'm not swim fit at the moment, but like when I was swim fit for like, for an Ironman race, my pace for pool swimming would be like 115 to 120 for 100. And I could hold that for the rest of my life. I don't have a top end. So when people hear that, they think, oh my gosh. But like, that's also like my hard 100 time. Like I'm a distance person through and through, right? Yeah. But when I would get in open water, even after decades of practice and all that stuff, my pace would be like, you know, 125, 130. So I was still adding a good solid 10 seconds to my 100 pace, even after all these years.
And
so
it's those other factors too that you're talking about.
It is. And so, you know, it's an unrealistic expectation to think that you're going to, you know, match your pool times, right. Even in pretty still water. It's that'd be a pretty tough ask. So,
okay. Question for you. Cause I just thought of this. You know, when I was, I don't do flip turns. I have issues with it just going up in my nose, and I've practiced it and it's like, it's okay, but I don't care. I'm just going to, I look like the dweebo, like I don't do the flip turn, but that's another thing that people could get used to is that push off from the wall. If they're doing their pool swims, how do you address that to make sure people aren't like, hey, because you're getting the promotion, there's nothing to push against.
Well, and that goes back to what I was saying at the start about if you haven't developed the fitness to reflect your race, right? Like you need race specific fitness, which goes to sets and also goes to that wall. And I have people do sets where they don't get to touch the wall.
Good.
And so that way, like not only that, because you know, when you go around buoys, it gets very congested. You're doing a lot of slowing down and then starting up. And so it's like, not only do you have to then learn how to like start from dead water, but also if you do a little bit of a surge and it spikes your heart rate, your body needs to learn to recover. So we do, we do swims from a dead stop, or we do things without touching the wall. We also do things where you do very minimal rest. So you may do like 2100s on 5 seconds rest at race pace. And, you know, so you've got to, you have to mimic the race.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. So the take-home message is the open water ain't like the pool.
It's not. And you can minimize that. And even, you know, no matter where you are in your swimming journey, there are parts of this that apply to you. And just remember that it's an evolution. And so not all of it will. So take one or two things. Start with that. And just know that open water is a different beast. And you just keep plugging away.
Progress, not perfection.
Thanks so much for listening. And remember,
we are in this together. Until next time.